This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh. Time to go back to that topic that, of course, is burning up headlines across the country. In terms, it is, of course, the general election, and we're looking forward to it happening early next month. Now, there are, of course, academics who are researching what's happening and from different perspectives. On the line, we have Ross Tapsell, who's the director of the Malaysia Institute at the Australian National University. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Ross. I want to begin with the fact that you did, in fact, go on the Cerama Trail. Tell us a little bit about where you went and what you saw.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks for having me. I spent a couple of weeks up in Kedah, and in particular on the island of Langkawi. I was interested in that part of Malaysia because obviously there's a really intense three-way fight going on between UMNO, PAS, and some of the new parties like Amanah and Bersatu. So I was interested in looking at that area and the impact that Dr. Mahathir might have over semi-rural and rural voters in the peninsula.
Joyce here. So I'd like to ask, so what have you observed from your engagement with people on the ground there?
Yes, there are a number of interesting developments, I think. Two main factors, I think, that I was interested in researching for GE14. The first, of course, is obvious. It's what is the impact of Mahathir campaigning for the opposition party Bersatu in this election? What kind of reception did he receive in these areas, and what did people say about him when I asked them informally or formally what they thought of him attempting to become Prime Minister again? And in Kedah and Langkawi in particular, he was generally seen quite favourably. Of course, in Langkawi, he's seen as this sort of father of development there. During Langkawi's tourist boom, he was seen as the man who set up a lot of the tourism infrastructure that has made Langkawi famous. And even, of course, in Kedah, there's still a lot of, Peninsula Kedah, there's still a lot of support there for Dr. Mahathir. So that was one factor. The second factor that I was interested in was the impact of internet growth and smartphone usage in semi-rural areas of Malaysia, and seeing whether the arrival of smartphones is changing political discourse in GE14 and whether that is slightly different to what we saw in Malay heartland areas in GE13.
Ross, just quickly, we in fact had news just a couple of hours ago that Mahathir will be the candidate for Bersatu in Langkawi. So that has been confirmed because different media are reporting it differently. We have the Malay Mail Online saying, in Langkawi, lukewarm response greets Dr. Mahathir amid rumours of candidacy. Well, at least that's their take on it. But coming back to the question of the media, you say you have very interesting stats from your article published in New Mandala. You say that prior to the last election, 2013, only around 58% of internet users were ethnic Malay. In the 2 years, that number has grown to 68%, and that in rural Malaysia, this is also increasing. Could you tell us a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of the consumption habits of voters in rural Malaysia?
Yes, and this is a trend broadly in Southeast Asia, right? We're getting people under the age of 40 who are generally now a lot less interested in consuming print news media. Printed newspapers are on the decline nationally in Malaysia, but also, you know, in the region, in Philippines and Indonesia. And increasingly people in rural areas are now turning towards smartphones for the way they access their information. And they're pretty much only using two main apps in terms of getting information. That's Facebook and WhatsApp. And I think this is a really important shift in terms of Malaysia's and Southeast Asia's shifting information society in the way that people get news and information and how they understand politics and how they understand what might be credible news or you know, conspiratorial news. And so this is very much a trend that we're seeing in Malaysia as well. As internet access improves, as smartphones, cheap Chinese-made sort of Android phones become cheaper, and as people turn away from traditional print media news.
Hi, Ross. Han here. So, look, when it comes to the medium of choice, that trend is well established. But as you pointed to earlier, and this is one of your aims for your visit up to Langkawi, the question is it significantly changing the mindset or the political bias for voters over there? Are you getting any sense of that after your visit?
It is very difficult. The argument I gave in that piece of New Mandala is that we are looking now at much more individual voter choice than we have in the past, in large part because there are simply more parties for people to choose from now in these areas, and Bersatu and Amana do provide alternatives to the more established UMNO or PAS. So that's one factor, but also the individualisation in the way in which people access information via smartphones. You know, people are posting Facebook views individually, they're posting WhatsApp commentaries individually, so it's unsurprising perhaps that people would now move more towards individual voter choice as to who they think their best local candidate is. So I didn't really see a huge swing in any particular direction in northern Malaysia, in Kedah area. But I did see a lot of people talking about what they will do is wait and see who their local candidate is. If it's a good person, doesn't matter which party they're from, that's who they'll vote for.
This question of Facebook and WhatsApp. Now, this is very interesting because Malaysia's parliament just passed the highly controversial anti-fake news bill. What do you think people on the ground are concerned about that? Do they ever mention to you that this new law would inhibit them in what they pass along?
So I was just in Kedah in the immediate aftermath of this bill being discussed. For the most part, really, news around this hadn't reached semi-rural areas enough to have a strong comment on what people were thinking. There wasn't a lot of, you know, discussion about it. People were still trying to figure out what exactly the law meant. And in fact, even, you know, academics like myself are still trying to figure out what exactly will be the consequences of this law. And we'll wait, I suppose, to see the first cases or the first prosecution of individuals, presumably, which will probably have a bigger effect in terms of how people view this particular law. My concern as an independent scholar would be that the law is too vague and it can lead to abuse of that law where we're not really clear what actually defines fake news. But to answer your question on the rural areas, it wasn't something that people were fretting about or discussing at great detail.
Hi, Ross, John again. From your on-the-ground conversations, what are you talking about? Any topics that come to mind? Any big topics?
Yes, in the when asked about what people were looking forward to in GE14 or what was on their mind, obviously the local candidate was one factor. You know, who would represent them. The second was this sort of binary battle between Prime Minister Najib and, you know, opposition leader Mahathir. So people were very much talking as to whether they liked one or the other. And of course, 1MDB and corruption came up regularly in that area when discussing the Prime Minister. That was something that citizens were regularly talking about. And when I asked them, well, where are you getting this kind of information from? Knowing that, you know, this is something that the Prime Minister has denied and that a lot of the mainstream media does not report in Malaysia. And pretty much everybody responded with the same answer. They said, oh, we got this news from Facebook. So that was something that is still very much on the minds of voters in Kedah.
Thank you very much. That was Ross Tapsell, Director of the Malaysia Institute at the Australian National University, speaking about his trip up north. Also, we're going to be tweeting out a link to his article published in New Mandala. It's titled New Technology, Old Loyalties Mashup, a Historic Contest. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.